You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Voices of Vic podcast and me, Ben Aston. Tonight I'm joined by Cameron Smart and Joe Thomas to talk you through Watford's latest defeat at home this time, a 3-2 defeat to Middlesbrough. They picked up a win last weekend, which was their first win of the season at home to Southampton. Then they won midweek against Bradford City, and then they came to Vicarage Road to pick up all 3 points as well. So I think it was the worst possible time for Watford to play Middlesbrough, and that was actually their first victory at Vicarage Road since 2012. So Watford are the side of the gift that keeps on giving. If you've got a record that you need to smash, Watford's your team that can help you. Also, for another interesting stat that me and Mike learnt last week when we spoke to Dana from the Borough Breakdown podcast, was that Middlesbrough actually conceded first in all championship games this season. That wasn't the case yesterday, was it, Cam? But firstly, how are you, Cam? How are you doing?
I was much better before you brought up those stats, because I suppose. But no, I'm good. I think I'm unfazed by Watford losing now. So yeah, I've had a cracking weekend. How about you?
Yeah, you're all good, thank you. Just came back from nice roast dinners at the in-laws. I've got a bit of food coma here, so you might need to give me a bit of a nudge later if you see me drifting off a little bit. Too many roast potatoes for me. But Joe, how are you doing? You came down to Vicarage Road yesterday. I think you were looking forward to turning up. Maybe you weren't when you were leaving Vicarage Road.
Yeah, do you know what? It's been a good weekend. Shame about the result, but it was nice to be back. And as I said before we came on, I still thought it was quite an entertaining game. So, yeah.
Well, let's just jump straight into it. We'll talk about like the main talking points, go over the goals like we normally do as well. But I think the main talking points for it, boys, is obviously the team selection. Val made four changes to the team that lost 3-0 away to Leeds United last week. And it was an interesting one. The four changes were that Ngakia, Tom Deli, Depeshru, Espria and Bio all came in for Andrew, Kone, Martins and Ince. When you saw those changes, Cam, were you surprised by any of them? And also by seeing that Bio came in as well and Ryan Vick was also in the starting lineup, did you automatically see this as a change of formation?
Yeah, look, he hinted at the change of shape in his pre-match presses, but I was surprised by some of the changes. First of all, I was glad to see Reece Healy on the bench because, if we're playing tilt top, we need another body. That's fair enough. But it was Ishmael Kone that surprised me because I thought, you know, in the lead up to this game, other than the Leeds game, he's been fantastic. And even against Leeds, I thought he was trying to make stuff happen. So I was surprised to see him dropped. But I don't hate seeing Deli Bashiru. I think he has a lot to offer, so that's nice. But Andrews was another weird one for me because I think it's a bit harsh to throw him in at the deep end at Elland Road and then to drop him after such a tough game. I don't know. I don't think that's going to do a lot for his confidence. I like Ngakia more than most, but I think Andrews does need a run out at some point.
And with the change of formation that Val opted for at the weekend, Joe, would you have thought that it might have suited Andrews more than Ngakia?
Yeah, I do think it would have suited Andrews a lot better. He's better, I think, for me going forward. He looks to drive forward and he looks to get in those areas on the edge of the box and try and get the ball in quite a bit, doesn't he? Whereas Ngakia, I think, is more defensive-minded. He goes forward, he probably gets to a point halfway inside the opposition half and he kind of stops, doesn't he? And he kind of looks for a backward pass. It was the case yesterday. He was picking up the ball. He was trying to go forward, but there wasn't really any options. That 3-5-2 formation doesn't suit Ngakia. So, yeah, it was a bit of a strange one, to be honest. And like Cam said, it's a bit harsh on Andrews coming out, giving him a run out against Leeds. And then, obviously, chucking him out straight the week after is just, yeah, it's a bit poor for me. But, yeah, we move on.
I'm just looking at it as well, though, Cam. I'm not too sure whether Val actually knows who his best right back is. Like, he's chopping and changing every week. There's no consistency with it. And Ngakia gets the game, and then he's out the following game. Andrews is in. Then after Andrews puts in a decent performance, and Ngakia's back in. It just seems to me, being a fan looking in, that he's not too sure who to play on that right hand side.
Yeah, look, Andrews is a young kid playing his first season, really, in professional football. You've got to manage his minutes properly. And, yeah, I get why he's sort of in and out. But to throw him in at Leeds, like I said, that was just the wrong game for him. And I think at home to Middlesbrough, who I don't think they're a bad side, but they have struggled. And especially in that 3-5-2, like Joe mentioned, he's more suited to it. I just think, you know, why drop him for this? So yeah, he has chopped and changed a lot. I do think Ngakia offers a bit more than people will tell you, and he wants that experience in there, doesn't he? It's an option to have, even though he's only 22, he's our most experienced option there. So yeah, I get why he's chopping and changing, but I don't know, I still would have gone with Andrews, and I think it's time for him to get a run of games.
Yeah, I just wanted to. I was just going to cut in, Ben. Sorry, and just say that I know we'll probably touch on the up and coming games at the end, but I actually do think in the back of my mind that Ishmael will bring Andrews back in on Wednesday at Sunderland. And again, it's going to be the wrong game to kind of bring him in potentially with how well Sunderland are playing. And it's going to make him look a little bit more exposed again. And everyone's going to go, oh, Ryan Andrews comes in, doesn't really kind of do a decent job again. And we're kind of like counters in this cycle of, and like you've mentioned, he doesn't really know who his best right back is. So it's going to be a little bit unfair on Andrews for a little while, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah, we did think Ngakia had a few good teasing crosses into the box yesterday as well. And I've not really seen that in the game that he has played lately. So that was encouraging to see of him. I just want to see a little bit more from him, but it's just consistency, isn't it? But I see where you're coming from here, Joe, and I would not be surprised to see Andrews in that starting lineup again at Sunderland away. But again, is it the right game to bring him in? And I'm not too sure it is. But looking at that, the changes that he did, Cam, the biggest one for me was leaving out probably arguably our best player of the season so far, Mathias Martins. Were you a bit surprised by that as well?
Yeah, I completely forgot about that. Yeah, I was surprised, and I think, you know, we got what we deserve for leaving him out in a way. But when you look at that 3-5-2, you wouldn't play him in as a wing back. So maybe the only option for him is play him up front. And he's not a number nine, is he, Mateus Martins? He does do a lot of work in central areas, but I don't think he'd be suited to being a number nine. That said, I would like to see him given a go there if we do persist with 3-5-2, because, well, mainly because the other options aren't so great. But I just want to see what he can do linking up with Rajovic, and maybe play him a bit closer to Rajovic, you know, give him the help that he seems to need, because I think that's a bit of a problem, separate to the Mateus Martins point. Regarding Rajovic, we don't get bodies close to him, and yeah, maybe we do need Martins running off him.
Me, Anna. Thanks to everyone who's watching tonight. There's loads of comments already floating in as well. We do read all your comments as well. Jess has just said bad move to leave out Martins in her opinion. Peter saying, where's Sema? Sema's actually out injured at the moment, so I don't think he'll be back until after the international break, from what I've heard in Andrew French's interview from a weekend. And then also, obviously, Mike's watching. Mike's got nothing better to do tonight, so saying, where's that good-looking one tonight? Mike, I think his name is. So, yeah, good evening, Mike. I hope you're well, mate. But, yeah, we'll jump into the action now. So we spoke about the team selection and that. And, obviously, it was the change of formation as well. So, Bio with partners in Rajovic up top. And also, I talked about earlier about how Middlesbrough conceded first in every championship game this season. I only took a few minutes to actually Middlesbrough break that for this season, and they took the lead in quick fashion. Pam, talk to me about this the opening goal. It was just terrible, wasn't it? The midfielder has the freedom of Vicarage Road, flipped the ball down the side of Porteous, who, in my opinion, looked a bit flat-footed. And then it was Riley McGree just got it past Batman, and I thought Batman should have done better as well. It was just so many errors off point that first goal.
Yeah, Deli Bashir is spun way too easily, and that so that opens everything up, because there's no midfield at all supporting him. I don't know where everyone went. Maybe that might be a byproduct of leaving out Sierra, maybe, you know, someone who's going to sit in front of that defence. But yeah, we were scarily open, and Porteous just doesn't want to track Riley McGree. And yeah, Daniel Backman, as you said, he I don't really know what he does, to be honest, Backman. He didn't seem to make himself big at all. He just let McGree roll it past him. And yeah, really, really easy goal for Middlesbrough to score, to be honest. Probably easiest goal they'll score for at least the next 5-10 minutes. So yeah, not a good start at all. And definite problems with that midfield, I think.
We'll just have a quick look back on that first goal as well. As soon as Riley McGree's got into that penalty box, I don't know whether Batman feels like he's giving him the eyes, but Batman looks like he's already started moving to the left-hand side. And then McGree's just obviously probably seen that quick movement, and he's just spotted it to the right of him, and it just looks terrible. But Joe, what were your thoughts on that first goal we conceded?
Yeah, I agree with what you said about Porteous. I thought he was at fault for the goal, and then like you say, Backman is anticipating the ball going across him, isn't he, into the opposite corner, because obviously Riley McGee's left footed, so for the ball to go kind of near post was a bit of a surprise to him, I think. But like you say, it was easy, and then it was just as easy really for the second, wasn't it?
It was, and it was only 7 minutes later when Riley McGee got his second goal. But before we talk about that, I just felt like we were just being bullied. The way Middlesbrough were moving the ball quickly, it was so fluent, we weren't tracking runners, but also they were playing the ball up long towards their youngster up top, Holborn. He just had the beating of Sirioto every time in that back three. Sirioto just really struggled to get a handle of him, and then in the second half, Porteous really struggled with him as well when we reverted to a back four. But it just looked like Middlesbrough was just beating us to everything. The second balls, the balls in the air, they were being more physical. They were just more up for it, wasn't they, than Watford?
Yeah, I don't know about more up for it. to be honest, because I think this group of players are up for it and they are motivated. I think they're like pretty much every team in this league, they're a lot quicker than us. They're a lot more physical. And yeah, they're a lot more tenacious. I mean, look at our midfield. We don't have anyone really who you'd say, you know, specializes in breaking up play, can, you know, eat up ground quickly, or, you know, wins their physical battles. I mean, Deli Bashiru, loser. Yeah, they've got quality, but they don't have ball winning quality. And again, as I said earlier, maybe it benefits us to put Sierra back in there. He does have his flaws, but he is a ball winner and he does have bite, if not pace. Yeah, that's a problem we've had nearly every game this season, I think, since QPR. We're second to nearly everything, in my opinion.
We haven't got any ball winners in that midfield. The area we've all cried out for towards the end of the transfer window, going, we need someone else in that area. I'm surprised how Livermore's not getting as much as they're looking at the moment. It's like he's not even making the bench at the moment, Joe, as well. But looking at the second goal conceded yesterday, Joe, if you're a Middlesbrough fan, you'll be applauding this because it's an absolutely fantastic team goal. It starts off from the goalkeeper. He plays a long ball up to the halfway line. Riley McGree plays it out wide to Crook. Then he continues his run. Crook gets to the penalty box, lays it across to his left-hand side, who McGree carries his run, and he just slots it past Batman. Again, a fantastic goal for Middlesbrough. But again, so many question marks over where that midfield is for Watford.
Yeah, I think it was very easy to see yesterday that based on the formation that was set up, that players were forgetting that we were playing a different formation. Because if you think that Sirialta was obviously at centre-back, if we're playing Deli Bashiru, Loser and Sirialta in that midfield, Loser doesn't go... He was basically on the edge of their penalty box, wasn't he, when the goal kick was taken, and Deli Bashiru was kind of like trying to keep track of two people that were there and couldn't. Obviously, he didn't pick the right one. The ball went to Riley McGee and it looked all too easy, didn't it? Obviously, then he was able to turn, like you say, yeah, the freedom of Vicarage Road, pass it to Crooks. Crooks went forward and then it just looked simple. Obviously, it didn't help the ball went through, I can't remember whose legs it went through now. Was it Hoot's leg, was it? I can't even remember now. But obviously, Backman couldn't really judge. It kind of happened quite quickly. So I don't really fully blame him for that. But like you say, it was far too open, wasn't it? It just shouldn't have happened. We shouldn't have given them that much space. And yeah, I think it's evident that Watford need, I think if they're going to be playing for me, they need three people that are in that midfield, like get Sirialta back there, and then it gives the loser the option to be that far forward for those situations. That just can't happen again.
Yeah, definitely. It was Sirialta who was the closest to McGree from it as well, not Wesley Hoot. He just turned his back on it and went past him. So he's got to try and stay up and try and be a bit bigger for that. But it took 7 minutes, Cam, for Watford to get a reply. It was a diagonal ball from Ryan Porteous, and it just kind of bounced over Middlesbrough's centre-half head. He kind of made a mistake there, which allowed Bayer to run onto it, and he finished nicely on a 1-1. But that's the kind of reaction you want after going from 2-0 down, wasn't it, Cam? Because the moment McGree got that second goal, there was boos from the Watford fans, and they knew they needed to react, and they reacted pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's how you get your momentum back. I mean, at 2-0 down, I thought, right, yeah, this is just going to be a very flat sort of 45, or even how much worse is it going to get? And when you see Bio throw on goal like that, especially when he's delaying, I just think, yeah, this is going over, isn't it? But no, fair play to him. He stuck it away, rolled it past the keepers. Good finish. But yeah, I wouldn't say we sort of capitalized on that. I wouldn't say, you know, we looked like a team with momentum behind us after that. We were just sort of there, weren't we? We just did what we normally do, as if we're sort of, you know, at 0-0. We
Yeah.
We didn't really put them...
It was very passive, wasn't it? It was like we were trying to control the possession. It was a bit weird. Like, we're 2-1 behind. We're chasing the game. We need to get back into the game. Yeah, you're totally right there. We were just knocking it around with no urgency.
I didn't feel that we did enough to sort of put them under any more pressure after that until the second half. So, yeah, nice for Bio to get a goal. And I mean, he should have had a couple more, but that's a separate point entirely. But yeah, nice to see that happen and, you know, make something of the game, I guess.
Yeah, that was his third goal of the season for Vakun Bayo. We're going to talk about it now because it's the only other thing that really happened in that first half. It was a fantastic ball from Yasser Espirito. And this is what Yasser Espirito brings to this team. He's got that vision and that key to unlock defences, and he plays a fantastic ball to split the middle for a defence in half. Bayo got on to the end of it, and a confident striker might maybe take that first time. He took a touch, but the first touch was fine, Joe. But then he ran it a little too wide, and then we all know what happened after that. I think he ended up hitting a disabled fans in the away end. But it was just, you score that 2-2 half time, that's the momentum that Cameron's on about, and then you can come out second half and look for that third goal. But Bayo's got to be hitting the target there.
Yeah, I agree. I was quite surprised when he took it past the keeper. I thought, here we go, this is brilliant. You know, we draw level here. And like you said, I wasn't expecting to spoon it over the bar, but it was a bit weird because seeing it from where I was sat, it looked like he kind of kicked the floor first before he kicked the ball. So he kind of got right underneath it as opposed to side foot it into the net. So I don't think he did run it too wide. I just think he caught the ground first as opposed to connecting nicely with it and slotting it in. But yeah, that was really frustrating. Like you say, you're talking about the possession. There was no urgency there. But then obviously, like you say, we'll probably move on to it now going into the second half. Obviously, bringing Martins on, the urgency was there and the game completely changed, didn't it?
Yeah, I just wanted to say it was we saw a lively Vakun Bayo and maybe the liveliness that you would need to maybe lead a line up top. We'll talk about his strike partner now, Cam, because I know you're maybe not a fan as much with Rajovic. He didn't offer anything, did he, first half? And I know we don't maybe play for his strength while putting balls into the box for him to get onto the end of. He's got to show more for me.
Yeah, I mean, I said earlier it might be that we don't get players close enough to him. But for me, and there could be any number of reasons for this. He's new here. I don't want to slag him off too much.
Yeah.
But he does look out of his depth, I think. His first touch is poor. His second touch when he gets the first one right is even poorer. He can't link play whatsoever. And if we're not going to play to his strengths by getting balls in the box for him to get his head on, then he might as well not be there. And yeah, you said, you know, Bayo was lively, and he was. It was like watching Deeney and Gray in the lockdown season, that kind of link up, because, you know, you had Troy, who, bless him, he just couldn't, you know, he couldn't move. He couldn't link the play. He couldn't hold the ball up. You had Gray, who was running everywhere, getting on the end of chances, but skying all of them. And it was like watching that again. It was quite a painful link-up to watch. I said after Leeds last week that maybe there is something there for Bayo and Rajovic. But to be honest, if we're going to play like that, I don't think it works. I think it might be better suited to Healy or possibly Martins to come in.
Mm. Just as they're saying, Rajovic says, I'm no fan of Rajovic. He does nothing unless he's in the 6-yard box. He can't hold the ball up and he's just bloody too slow. So that's Jess's thoughts on Rajovic. We won't talk about Rajovic anymore because, like Cam,
I just want to point something out about Rajovic, interestingly, is in that first half yesterday, he was getting out wide quite a lot. And I didn't think that was suiting him at all. He wasn't getting in the areas that he should have been in the box. And obviously the balls weren't coming in the box in the first place. However, as soon as the formation, obviously I know things changed to be reverted back in the second half, but as soon as the formation changed, balls were going in the box and we started playing Rajovic's game. And that's the frustrating thing, is had Rajovic been on the pitch in the second half, we might, I mean, who knows? You don't know what would have happened. But we were playing to his strengths at that point. So it's really frustrating that in the first half, there was nothing for him. But in the second half, had he been in the box, obviously I know Bayer had that header, didn't he, that was brilliantly saved by Dieng. But, you know, it's just, yeah, I do feel for him a little bit. I do agree with everything that's been said, but at the same time, I do feel very sorry for him at the moment.
Yeah, like you say, lots of balls going into the box. Ince came onto the pitch as well. He was whipping a few balls into the box. Martins was putting crosses in as well. But Watford did get back onto level terms early in the second half, and it was from a fantastic half volley from Wesley Hoot. It was another short corner, and you know what Watford fans are like whenever we see a team take a short corner. It was Luther and Martins over on the right-hand side, took the short corner, ball into a box, Middlesbrough player got ahead to it, but it fell kindly to Wesley Hoot. And I don't know about you, Cam, but it seems like it took an absolute age to find the back of it in there. The way he hit it, he didn't get much power on it, but it looked like it was spinning away. And for a moment, it hit the back of the net, the rookery erupted, and it was like game on then.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say about it. It seemed to go in slow motion. I was behind it in the rookery, and yeah, he didn't leather it. He just sort of guided it in, and yeah, it's really good finish, I think. Probably our best goal of the season so far, and yeah, a goal that I'd say deserved more, to be honest. It's that second ball from the corner that, you know, we were actually a little bit combative. We were in sort of a spell of the game where we'd built some momentum. We were retaining pressure, and yeah, we really put Middlesbrough under. And yeah, I don't know why, but after this goal, we sort of just stopped all of that. It's like, yeah, we're happy with a point, or we're just going to stop playing now. I don't really know why we didn't build on it, to be honest.
Yeah, it was like, okay, we've got what we wanted out of this. Let's take our foot off the gas. Let's just slow it down. But if anything, that just helped Middlesbrough play their game, because they felt, right, okay, we're comfortable with you backing off, giving us the ball. And you know, Middlesbrough have got quality when we're on the ball. And then it didn't take them long again. It seems like yesterday, when there was goals, there was the goal quickly to follow. And Middlesbrough, they got their goal as well. And it was Colburn, and I was really impressed with him yesterday. He's a young lad, he's playing through their academy, big old lad as well. And he gave our centre half a horrible time all day, and he got his rewards and put him 3-2 up. But Joe, what's your thoughts on Middlesbrough's third goal?
Just split the defence, didn't it? Like, everyone was just like, no one was paying attention. It was, again, quick play. We were slow, ball went through. Kind of, I'll be honest with you, as soon as he picked up the ball, I kind of knew what was going to happen. It was obvious to me, based on how the rest of the game had gone. I was no surprise when it hit the back of the net, but it was just kind of like, okay, so what are we going to do now to show as a reaction? And yeah, it was again a bit flat, like you said. There was just nothing really. When we were in positions where we needed to get back into the game, there was no urgency. We weren't passing the ball quick enough. It was a lot of stray passing. Again, obviously no pace. It was just all in all a bit of a shocking afternoon, really, wasn't it?
It was. And then the only real chance for us to get back into the game was from that Matthias Martin cut in. What it trademarks? I don't know how defenders give him that much room and allow him to cut in on his right foot. He curled it, Cam, and it just came off the bar, and you just knew after that it just weren't going to be Watford's day. What I wanted to get your thoughts on as well, though, Cam, is we actually saw Reece Healy get his league debut for Watford as well. He came on with 10 minutes to go, 15 minutes of the added on time. But what did you think of him? I thought he looked a little bit lively. He won a ball off the defender as well. He showed a bit more promise for me than what I saw about Rajovic in that game.
Yeah. I think he needs to get a bit more game time, because what was it, 83rd minute he came on or something around that? Yeah. It just I don't think he can impact the game in that time. We struggled to give him any kind of service, but you're right, he did look quite lively, and I think he should be in by default on Wednesday because the two up front, Bio scored, but other than that, between them, they offered absolutely nothing. So, yeah, I want to see more of Reece Healy. I'm hoping he's sort of over whatever fitness issue he had. That was sort of quite, quite sort of, they kept that quite quiet, whatever was wrong with him, because he was over his ACL injury. And, we haven't seen anywhere near as much of him as I'd like to see. He's, you know, prolific, we know that. And I think he will do well for us if we give him a run of games.
And Joe, it finished 3-2 to Middlesbrough yesterday. Watford picking up another defeat, and it drops us down to 20th in the table. What was your thoughts on the overall performance yesterday for Watford? I know Valerie Ismail, he came out and owned up saying it was his mistakes that cost us the result yesterday. How he changed the formation and maybe made us poor changes. But what was your thoughts on the whole overall performance and result?
I don't think the players really fully understood the brief yesterday. I think because he's been playing with a formation, he stuck to it for the previous 8 games. He hasn't changed the formation in those 8 games. Pretty much, apart from the fullbacks and a couple of odd changes here and there, it's been pretty much the same sort of team and shape. So, yeah, I think the players just need to be, if he's going to be doing that going forward and playing with a 3-5-2, they just need to understand where they've got to be on the pitch, because, like I say, there were too many people out of position. Porteous, Serialta, Loser and Derbyshire in the midfield. Lewis at left back. I thought Lewis wasn't very good at all yesterday. I thought Isaiah Jones gave him a pretty torrid afternoon. His pace was just tormenting him all afternoon, wasn't it? I'm just putting it down to a one-off. I think I know where we are in the table. However, Ismail is building on something still, and I do believe that if he persists with that style of play that he was playing with prior to yesterday's game, I do think that we'll be moving in the right direction.
I agree with you, mate. Cam, what were your thoughts on the overall performance and the result yesterday?
I think that's as bad as it's been at home for us this season. We looked a bit like the Watford of last season, not a lot of urgency, not a lot of creativity, just not a lot going on for us. And yeah, just such a calamity at the back. But Ismail, he tried something new. He took accountability for it. And I think it's the right call to try something new. It's the right time of the season as well. You know, we got a lot of time to turn things around. Yeah, there's a lot of deficiencies in this team that need to be addressed. And I wouldn't say we have the personnel to really, really sort of turn that around. So, a change in system might be needed. Ismail needs to sort of work something out, or it could be him, you know, next out the door, and who knows, Warnock, Dean Smith, whoever's a free agent, could be them after the next international break.
Yeah, you know what? I respect him for trying to give it a go to try and shake things up yesterday. But what I also respect him on is him coming out and fronting it and admitting that he got it wrong. Because he's obviously going to learn from this. Like, managers try things now and again, but for him to come out and be like, you know what, I got it totally wrong. And he knew he did. He was deep in discussions with Dean Whitehead after we were 2-0 down. Normally, Val was quite prominent on that touchline. You see him standing up for the whole game. The moment it was 2-0, he sat down in his box next to Dean Whitehead and he didn't move. He was deep in conversation, so he knew he messed up and knew it wasn't working for the team. But I think the players need to take a little bit of responsibility. Like Joe said earlier, that I don't think the players really maybe understood the brief. If you don't really understand what's expected of you, you should be trying to find out what is expected, because the midfield was non-existent yesterday. But looking at Watford at the moment, Joe, what do you think Watford's biggest issue is in this team?
That's a tough question. I think obviously conceding goals is the worst thing. I think that's what 11 goals in, is it five games or four games? Sorry.
So we
conceded 11 goals in five games, which, you know, it's not good enough, is it? And based on how we started the season, with defensively, we looked quite solid and it didn't look like things were going to go that way. So that needs to be addressed first and foremost. And I think once that defence has been shored up, and whether that's, I don't know, I wouldn't change it. I think Hoot and Porteous at centre back is brilliant. I think they've been decent for us. But I think, I think once we stop conceding goals, I think we'll be all right. But yeah, we just need the midfield need to help them as well. I mean, obviously they weren't really that great against Leeds, and they were even worse yesterday. Obviously, I know Cam, you said Kone was good against Leeds, and I do agree with that. He was good, but like I say, that's two games really where they've not really helped out the people behind them. So yeah, people just need to kind of remember what their position, remember what their job is, and hopefully moving forward, we'll start with Sunderland. We'll start seeing some positive things on the pitch, but who knows? It's going to be a tough week for us now.
Mm. And what about you, Cam? What do you think the biggest issues are with this Watford team at the moment?
It's that midfield for me. I touched on it earlier. There's no physical presence in there, no ball winner, and they're all very, very slow. I don't think it's foundation for us to get the best out of Imran Loser. I know everyone's frustrated at him, and it's easy to, you know, point the blame at him because he's meant to be our best player. But I just don't think there's any way he can sort of impact games when, you know, he's in such a lightweight midfield. So, yeah, a lot of the goals this season that we conceded, you can point directly at our midfield. And if we could bring in sort of maybe a Josh Laurent type, who we were linked with in the summer briefly, if we could bring in that type of player, I think this team would go up another level, and, you know, we could start winning some games.
Yeah, a couple of bits that I'll throw into the mix as well. I'm not liking Daniel Batman being captain. I don't think it's suiting us. We need an outfield captain. I have nothing against Daniel Batman as a person or a footballer. I just don't think a captain should be the goalkeeper, because there was examples yesterday, 2-0 down. He's trying to shout from the penalty box at all his players. If he was a centre midfielder or a defender, you can go up to people and do that. It just doesn't work for me. And like Cam said, the midfield. And I would even be inclined to try and change something this Wednesday at Sunderland or Cardiff. Like, it's just players being out of form as well. So in my eyes, I know he hasn't featured, and I think his last appearance was it maybe Stoke? I'd maybe bring in Jake Livermore and take out Ryan Porteous. So I put Siri Elster at the back with Wesley Hoot, because I'm not being impressed with Ryan Porteous the last few games. Since Coventry, I think he's lost his head a little bit, and he just seems so out of form. So I'll take him out the firing line, drop Siri Elster with Hoot at the back, and then put in Jake Livermore in the middle. I know that Jake Livermore is probably, I'd say not as good as maybe Siri Elster, but he should be. He's a defensive midfielder. Siri Elster isn't. He's been filling in this gap. So I'd maybe like to see him go in there, a bit more of like a ball-winning midfielder. I know he's lost his legs a little bit, but he's going to stick something on you at early doors to let you know he's there. Siri Elster, I don't really get that vibe from him, and he moves the ball too slowly for me as well sometimes, but I don't know what your thoughts are on that. Would you maybe look to freshen it up a little bit, Cam, as well? And maybe would you take Ryan Porteous out of the team and maybe drop Siri Elster at the back, try and take him out of the firing line a little bit?
Look, I get why people are on Ryan Porteous's back, but I think as a ball player, him and Hoot, they're great with the ball. They're exactly what we need to sort of progress. And it's easy to overlook that when he's making so many errors, but I do think he's a better player than what we're seeing. I also don't think we have adequate backup to justify dropping him, which, you know, say what you want, that could be Gino's fault, that could be Valerian Ishmael's fault, or it could be a good call, whatever you think. Either way, we don't have adequate options to drop Ryan Porteous, in my opinion. On Jake Livermore, I see what you're saying. He does add a bit of bite, but I just think his legs are gone and he's just not good enough with the ball at all. And yeah, I to be honest, that signing is pretty baffling to me. And it's looking like a bad one already because he's not even making match day squads anymore. So yeah, I get why people are on Porteous's back, but I just don't see another solution, especially when he's so good with the ball, in my opinion.
We bring it back to recruitment, and at the end of the transfer window, we've all been like, we need another centre back, we need a defensive midfielder. We could all see it, Joe, but the people that needed to see it haven't seen it, and that's Ben Manga and Gino Pozzo. It's like all fans knew it. We knew it was going to be like in that department. Obviously, they've maybe told Pollock he can't go on loan because he's going to be like the backup centre half. But we all know, as much as Pollock's a decent guy in that, he's not ready for Championship football or to be a proper backup in this division.
No, he's not. He's not. I don't know why it wasn't addressed in the summer. I think. It is baffling, and hopefully in January, from obviously I don't want to kind of give it the curse and say it's going to be too late by then, but hopefully we can kind of muddle through until the January transfer window, and as soon as it opens, hopefully they've got someone in mind and we can get a deal done and get someone who is, like Cam says, physical, good on the ball, moves the ball quickly, and we can start playing better from the midfield. But like you said, Pollock isn't ready to just come straight in Championship, and he's not adequate enough cover for me. We need, again, it's another position, isn't it? They were probably the two positions we talked about all over summer, didn't we? We need another centre-back. We was kind of a little bit baffled. The amount of centre-backs were kind of let go, and there wasn't another one brought in, was there? So yeah, hopefully those two positions are sorted as soon as the January window opens.
Mm-hmm. And just wanted to both your thoughts on the next one as well. How do you both feel about Valerian Ishmael at the moment? Are you feeling more patient than what maybe the people above Valerian Ishmael are feeling at the moment?
Yeah, 100% for me. I've been guilty in the past of saying that people need to go. I hold my hands up and say there have been times where I've been frustrated and said this manager needs to go, because, to be quite honest with you, Watford fans are like that now. As soon as a couple of bad results come in, fans are like, get them gone, you know, either Gino out or get the manager out. It's kind of a merry-go-round, isn't it, with our fans and the club as a whole. But at this present time, I would 100% stick by Ishmael. I think he's a marvellous man. He's got a great discipline about him. The team is, there's a lot more structure within the club now. And we're moving in the right direction. We've just got to be patient. And I stand by that, and I'll stick by him and hope that he does last this transfer window. If he does, he'll be here till the end of the season.
I echo everything you said there, mate. Cam, what about you?
No, yeah, that's spot on for me. I don't see why people are calling for his head. I mean, have they seen what's happened the last time we've sacked managers? It doesn't tend to improve things. And I just think if we sack Valerian Ishmael, we're right back to square one. It's a complete waste of a season. Let's face it, we aren't going to, you know, challenge for promotion this season. We'll be a mid-table side, and I hope Gino realises that. I think Watford fans need to realise that. If we just sack the manager, we're still going to have a pretty unremarkable season unless we get Pep Guardiola through the door. I just don't see any way this squad can finish above mid-table. So, yeah, it's nice to see Valerian Ishmael, you know, stamping down his style. And he seems, you know, more dedicated, more focused than any manager we've seen. I mean, remember some of the clips from like Roy Hodgson's days, you know, the training sessions, they just look so simple. And, you know, stuff I do for under eights when I was coaching. So, yeah, it's nice to see a degree of dedication from a manager. And I hope we repay him. I hope we stick with him. But you can't rule anything out with Gino Pozzo, especially around an international break and especially on a bad run of form.
That's it. That's going to be my next point as well, with two difficult away games this week, followed by an international break. Do you see that Gino might pull the trigger, Joe?
Yeah, 100%. I think if we get two draws, I know Cam, when we saw each other yesterday and you said you'd probably take two draws this week if it was offered. I think if we do end up with two draws or a draw and a defeat, or even a win and a defeat, it depends on the performances, though. If the performances are good and we're just unlucky, it might be different. But if they're bad performances and anything like Leeds away last week, which was really poor, if they're like that, then, yeah, I mean, for me, it's not the right call. And I've just said that, but I do believe that it could happen. I do believe that on Saturday evening or even Sunday at some point, we'll be seeing that famous corner flag come up on the club website with an official club statement, unfortunately.
I hope we don't. It's just stupid, isn't it? It's so early into the season still. I'd be more concerned if we're not seeing the performances, if we weren't creating chances. We're seeing both. We just spoke before we came on air as well, saying, I know it's frustrating yesterday, but I was still entertained. I still walked away enjoying watching that Watford offensive performance. It's just that, Cam, you've got to cut out the mistakes at the back, basically. You cut out all those mistakes we're having at the back. We're picking up many more points than what we've got on the board at the moment. We'll be probably closer to the playoff position than what we are relegation position. Gino has got to hold his nerve here, doesn't he? If we don't get many points out the next two games, we've surely got to look deeper and be like, okay, the culture's changed. The players seem more disciplined. There's a style of play. There's more structure. Okay, we've been a bit unlucky in games recently, but there's enough there to show me that it will be all right. And if I give this manager time, I might see the rewards for it.
Yeah, I'm going to stick my neck out here and I'm going to say that Gino might have changed his ways a bit. I think he'll give Ishmael time. I know it's controversial. It's asking for a lot. But look, everything we saw in the summer, it points to a change in approach, and everything sort of Udinese did a few years ago when they got a technical director in, they changed their approach. And Ben Manga said that he's going to have a bit of a say, well, a lot of a say on managers. And he's a football person. He knows football. What he did at Frankfurt was fantastic. So yeah, I trust Ben Manga more than I trust Gino Pozzo. But if Manga has that control, like he says he does, then I think we'll see Valerian Ishmael still in the dugout come May, unless things get really sour and we end up relegated. But I just don't see that happening.
Talking about managerial changes as well, one just flashed up on my Sky Sports News notification, and Mick Beale's been sacked at Rangers after 10 months in charge. Remember when he was top of the table in the Championship leading QPR to promotion? It was early days, but they was looking good under him, and he was like, no, I'm dropping everything I've got here. I'm going to go up north of the border to Rangers. Well, it didn't work out too well for him, and he's been sacked after 10 months. I thought I'd bring that in. We're talking about managerial changes. But Joe, let's talk about very quickly about the upcoming game against Sunderland on Wednesday. They look very good against Sheffield Wednesday Friday night. I know it was against the Sheffield Wednesday side, but it's a good start to the season for Sunderland. You're expecting a difficult game, I imagine.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very tough for us. They're in a good run of form. They're fourth in the league now, aren't they? good away win on Friday. They started strong. They were two up after 8 minutes. Got the third on the half hour mark. I thought, to be honest with you, it was going to be a lot worse than what it ended up for Sheffield Wednesday. But they did well considering all the fans were streaming out. They kind of did well for what was remaining there. But yeah, Sunderland looked very good. Obviously, they demolished Southampton, didn't they? Recently 5-0. So, you know, they're no mugs. They're going to be up there. I think I put them in the playoffs for my predictions, if I remember rightly. So, yeah, I think they're going to be up there. It's going to be a tough evening, sorry, for us. But hopefully we can start better and hopefully we'll get a better result than what we've seen in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and Cam, Sunderland are fourth in the league. They've won four out of their last five games. Just the team what we want to be coming up against, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not ideal at all, especially when you haven't won away since New Year's Day. So, yeah, I'm not expecting that to change in the coming week. With the form Cardiff are on as well, they're also on fire. So, yeah, it doesn't get any easier. I think if we want to go to Sunderland and get anything, we can't do what we did at Leeds. We can't play the way we're playing, the sort of gung-ho attacking football, leaving the defenders hung out to dry. I just think that would be suicide. We need to go there a little bit more organised, not park the bus, but, you know, see a little bit more sort of, a little bit more organisation. We aren't going to get a result by outscoring them, especially with what we've got up front.
Definitely, and if I take any hope out of this game as well, it's last season's game, actually. Sunderland was right in the mix with a playoff place. It was the end of August, and I think they were sixth or seventh, and we actually went up there and got a 2-2 draw. And it was an encouraging performance as well. And I don't think many Watford fans were expecting us to turn up as well. And we took an early lead through, was it Christian Cabaselli? And then Ryan Porteous got a goal as well. And it ended 2-2. I think Luke O'Neill got a goal as well. But that gives me a little bit of encouragement going, you know what? I didn't think we'd get anything out of the game last season when Sunderland was bang on form in the playoff position. We go in there again this season. We're out of form. Sunderland are in form. They're in a good spot. We could go up there and get something. And it would just be Watford, wouldn't it, Joe, if we managed to go up there and sneak something?
Yeah, it would. I did say that, actually, before the Leeds game. It would be a typical Watford thing if we went to Leeds, got a win, and then Borough at that time were out of form. We'd play them the week after and would end up losing at home. In actual fact, we've lost both of them. So. But yeah, it would be a typical Watford thing to lose on Saturday against a team that were below us, and you'd expect us to win and then for us to go to Sunderland and maybe nick a, I don't know, a 1-0 win or a good, like I say, again, get a good 2-2 draw, which I'd be quite happy with, to be honest, if someone offered it to me now.
Yeah, definitely. Let's do the score prediction first then. So what would your score prediction be?
I'll be honest, as much as I'd love to see a win, I just don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to probably say I'll probably go 1-1 on this one.
Yeah. And Pam, what about you?
I'm going to have to say 3-0 to Sunderland. I think this one could get quite bad.
Don't worry about doing a negative prediction. I did 3-0 for Leeds to win the other week, and I thought, I should have just put £20 on it, and it would have been much healthier in a position financially than I actually am at the moment. So yeah, maybe I should do that as well. I'm going to go for I can't say anything other than a Sunderland win, unfortunately. I don't see us getting anything. I'll be pleased if we get a goal. It's the main game on Sky Sports as well, so we all have the pleasure of watching as well. So I'm going to go for with our defence, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a 3-1 defeat. So, yeah, lots of goals in that. But, yeah. Right, we'll wrap it up there. But, yeah, thank you, everyone, for watching tonight and for getting involved in the comments as well. Make sure you like this video. Hit that subscribe button as well. And let us know your thoughts on Watford's season so far, on whether you think Valerie Ishmael's going to get the sack, if you want him to stay. Let us know your score predictions as well in the comments below. We read everything, so it'd be really good to interact with you guys as well. And then we'll actually be back for a live review of the Sunderland game Wednesday evening. A few of us will get together and do a quick, like, 20-minute episode just to do our quick reactions to the game. Unfortunately, we won't be able to do a preview because of how quick the turnaround is this week. And then we're at away to Cardiff City on Saturday as well, so it'll be a review show for that as well. But yeah, thank you for watching, everyone. Stay safe and come on, you Orns.
Sports Social Podcast Network.